Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Here is a crazy one. It wasn't a person. It was somebody's dog.
All right.
An adventurous dog was rescued in the nick of time on Saturday after covering 100 miles during 5 weeks on the run, including doggy paddling to an island a mile off of England's southern coast.
Well, it's the only stroke he knows, Miles.
Amber's a 5-year-old retriever. And was initially rescued as a street pup in Qatar and brought to the UK by a charity. She was placed with a family inside the New Forest National Park. That's in the south part of England. But stayed only one night. Now, Jess Wadsworth was amazed to discover that Amber had escaped the yard with an 8-foot-high fence on April 25th. And for the next 36 days, Amber was tracked through the national park, across Hampshire and Dorset, and to the coast, where the animal then swam for a mile to a beach on Brown Sea Island.
All right.
She spent 4 days on the island.
Sounds lovely.
Helped by a resident who left out some food for her, then attempted, she did, to swim back to the mainland, but may not have been accounting for the tide. So two men in a boat saw her struggling on Saturday. She wasn't going to make that swim back, so they turned the boat around. She hooked her paws on the ladder, and one of the lads jumped into the water and helped her out. Amber is now said to be in good condition. I have never known a dog that travels that many miles and survives. What a girl. Hopefully Amber will have a calmer, more stable spirit as she has gone back to the home where she was able to jump over the 8-foot-high fence.
You think that's a home she wants to be at? She jumped over an 8-foot fence and then swam to an island.
Was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Madison. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, guys.
Hola.
Hola. So over this past weekend, my friends and I, we had about 6 boats on the Columbia. We were going down to the sandbars about 30 minutes. We're out there having a great time. We got the high wind advisory, but we didn't get out of there in time. We're on our way out, we have one boat go down, motor-wise, so we're trying to tow it. We have the other boats in front of us, and we lose sight of all of them. We round the corner, and we see one of the boats sticking out of the Columbia, and all the passengers on the shore. Then we could not find the other boat that was in front of us, and come to find out he was on the phone with one of our the boat that we were towing, and he pretty sure his boat goes down. He's we don't hear from him for hours, and
so you're saying you think he sinks the boat?
Yeah, so we're fully anticipating hearing that he died.
Okay. Now, was this like a pontoon boat in the high wind? You thought maybe the boat was blown over?
No. So he had sent us videos actually of like his boat taking on water. He then called one of our friends and he's like, I don't know what to do. So he told the story later. He said he grabbed the first life jacket he could find, lit his last cigarette, and jumped in.
The last cigarette. Right. I like that.
Arm up in the air.
Right, I guarantee it.
Trying to keep that baby dry.
Yeah. Ain't getting it wet. So how many hours did you think this guy was dead?
About 2 or 3.
And how did you find out he wasn't? Did he give you a call or did he physically show up somewhere?
So we found out by a video being sent to us with him sitting in our kitchen in the cabin eating noodles like, I'm alive.
Wow.
How somber is it for those 2 or 3 hours where you think your friend's dead?
It is the most terrifying experience of my life. I'm still reeling from it. Like, this just happened on Saturday.
Did you guys call authorities? Like, in the time that you thought he was dead, did you call them and say, hey, man.
But found him on the shore. And the only reason they spotted him because he was in a bright pink life jacket.
Jesus. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's kind of embarrassing.
Whatever works.
Yeah. Okay. So now do they go and try to find that boat and take it out of the Columbia River? Or is it forever at the bottom of that thing?
So there were actually 2 boats that went down. We were able to recover one the next morning, thankfully. The other one is currently still on the bottom of the Columbia, and Fish and Game said that he either has to pay for a non-recovery fee or a recovery fee. Either way, he has to sign it off to Fish and Game. It's no longer his boat.
Wait. How much is the non-recovery fee? How much are you going to charge me to not do anything?
$1,500, I believe they said.
And what's the recovery fee?
Recovery fee is $2,000.
So where's the boat going? Is it just going back to them?
I guess it's more effort to like try and get it out and all that, so they have to use more resources.
Right, but you still don't get your boat back.
Right.
Either way, you're out of a boat.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So $1,500, we're not going to get it for you. $2,000, we will.
Where were you on the Columbia? What area?
Around Vantage, off I-90. All right.
Oh, man. You're out by the gorge.
So are you on the water?
Yeah, we could see the gorge from the sandbar. We'd been out there multiple times. It had never been that bad, and the swells were they were insane. We were all scared for our lives.
Was this the weekend that you were there, Ted?
As I say, was this Memorial Day weekend?
No, this was just this weekend.
Oh, I see.
Weekend. All right, because you got into some crap out there.
Yeah, man. Bob Dylan played about 7 songs, and then they had to stop the concert because the wind and, like, these storms blew in.
Oh, really?
It rained a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Bob Dylan only played a couple.
You kind of glad that of all the artists that you could see that day that his was the set that was cut short?
Full disclosure, yes.
Yes.
Was he good at all? Did you know 1 song, anything?
So here's the deal. Billy Strings was awesome.
Yeah, you said you really enjoyed his set.
And you're dancing. It's like, and then Bob comes out. And I'm kind of, if you know the gorge, if you look at the stage to the left, there's like a liquor garden in there.
Yeah.
Right? So we're standing there. Now, my buddy I had gone with, he does music and everything. So he's kind of off to the side watching it. He's about to have a tear. He's having
Bob Dylan moment.
Dylan's his guy. He's like, I can't believe I'm seeing Bob Dylan. And just as I walk over and go, you know what? You're right. I should respect Dylan more. Concert's paused. Jesus. This was daytime.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hours before they re-got it going. But, yeah, those storms blew in quick. And also, always put on your rain fly.
Mike, what was your deal? I know it wasn't boating, but were you floating or something? And
I was
terrified the hell out of you to the point where you'll never do it again.
Yeah, I was floating the river with my brother-in-law. He had a wooded area out and behind his parents' house. That what we would do is every summer we would grab a couple inner tubes, and first off is we would run a couple cars down to the Green River Crossing down there off of 169, I think is where it's at.
Nice.
And we would just stage a car down there, stage the truck down there, run it all the way back up to his folks' place, and then we would park there, and we would walk about, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, down to a higher-up spot on Green River, and we would float on down. That's what we would do during the summertime all the time. And it was a fun time. We had a great old time, and we tried to get it to when the river was a little bit higher because we would bottom out a little bit too much if it got too low.
Sure.
And My brother-in-law, we're riding on the same tube. It's one of those really big ones that can tow behind a boat. And as we're floating on down there, the water's moving fairly quickly, and we're moving up to a fallen tree that's kind of, it's still off to the side, but it's kind of hanging up and over the water there. And so my dumb ass, I think here's how we're going to be able to bypass this thing, because we can't try to stroke our way
right,
out.
You're not going.
It's not going to happen, right? So here's what we're going to do is we're going to get our feet out in front of us. My plan is we are going to land our feet on this tree, and then we were going to try to walk or maybe like, you know, hayako it around there till we'll be able to do that. I did not think about this particular angle of it, is that when you put your feet up against it and now it stops, well, that water still has to move. It still has to go somewhere. And now it's going underneath the tube, which flips the doggone tube over. So we go ass over tea kettle. We start flopping all over the doggone place. My worry is just get upright. Just get up and on top of the water, right?
Because, again, your ultimate nightmare is like...
drowning,
But you said, in shallow-ish water, right?
It's one of those that it would be an insult to injury to die that way.
To look at land and...
Correct. Die. You know, that scene from The Gray where he is literally, he can reach his hands out.
His hands are dry.
Correct, but he can't... so that's
a nightmare.
That's a horrific nightmare to me,
The wolves didn't bother Mike. It was that scene, right?
The wolves are going to kill me at some point, but that water, man, that's going to hurt. That thing flips over, and I was able to get myself up. I was more concerned for my brother-in-law because I did not know where he was at.
Okay.
I had this inner tube basically sideways. I'm clinging onto this thing and holding my head up above water, and I can't see him. I'm hollering for him. I can't see him. His brother is now swimming over to us to try to help in any way that he can until I finally am able to move my head over to the side, and I can see my brother just clinging onto the thing the same way that I am. So we both made it out okay.
Jeez. Wait, was he on the other side of the same inner tube?
He was on the other side of the same inner tube,
but you couldn't see him based on the facts in your face.
That's right. And I'm currently trying to find, my other near-death experience happened down in Oregon up against the dunes there. My family there, we got on a kick for a while is that we would take ATVs down there and we would ride the sand dunes that were down there. One thing that they teach you, because you actually do have to take a safety class when it comes to going down to those Oregon sand dunes, is one, the dunes change all the time.
Right.
And two, they kind of build false points, if you will. You ride to the top of these dunes, and these dunes are 30 feet high. And so you've got to, really putt your way on up to the top of those doggone things. And I get used to it. They're daunting at first when you first look at them, but then after a while you start getting used to it, and it's actually kind of fun. It's kind of like a little roller coaster that you can control up there. And I remember we were just traversing ground this one time. We were in Coos Bay at this point. We usually rode Florence, but we were in Coos Bay at this point, checking out some new ground. And I went up this particular dune, and it was a two-tiered thing. It came out, flattened up, and then it went up the second time. My family, they went out and around, and those dunes are so big that you end up, 100 yards away from each other at any given point, just how things are working out there. And so they go around the thing. I'm like, screw it. I'll go up to the top, and I'll get a bird's eye view of what we got going on out here. So I start firing up the thing, and I hit that first tabletop, that first little platform, and I'm still going. I have not stopped moving. And there, I remember, I believe this is divine intervention, man. I remember there was something that said to look over at my family, and I look over, and I see hands waving like this.
Right.
So that's like, okay, I don't know what it is I'm coming at to, but I can't stop at this point because then my tires are going to sink and I'm going to get stuck up there, and then that's when it gets really hairy. So I said, screw it, I'll just get up to the top. So I'm going up. You kind of start to turn a little bit to the side because, again, you don't know what's at the top. And as I'm getting up there, all of a sudden I see tree tops underneath me.
Ooh.
And I jam on the brakes and I push sand over a 30-foot cliff.
Oh,
cliff. Like, there was no side that I could have gone down.
It was straight down. Yeah, it was straight down.
And the sand was compacted. So the way that these dunes are made is this rain comes down and it compacts the sand, and eventually the sand blows back over the top of it. That's how you make a dune. The sand was blown off of this thing, so now it's only compact sand. And it was blowing so hard that it was blowing sand about 10 feet off of this cliff.
So it looked like you had another 10 feet.
It looked like I still had room to go.
Wow.
And I jammed on the brakes, dude. And when I saw that, I got back down and I laughed about it, but I was broken down by the time we got back to the truck, man. That was another one of my worst nightmares, is flying off of a doggone top to fall to my death.
You got
to
pick one nightmare, man.
Man, I got a handful of different nightmares that I do not want to make.
Like, there's a lot of bad scenarios, but you need one nightmare.
But sometimes you don't know, right? Like getting bit by a venomous snake and dying in the woods. Big nightmare.
Sure.
Or sneaking into my house, biting me on the junk. Right, anything you got.
Very specific.
Well, it's in the sink. It's in the toilet.
Okay.
But I didn't know I was scared to death of falling off cliffs and snowmobiling until I went snowmobiling and almost fell off a cliff.
But there's a reasonable way to look at this. Now, all of us are scared to fall off of a cliff because if we get to the edge of a cliff, we will stop walking, right? It's just built in, like, hey, here's a cliff. So the snowmobiling still freak you out. Obviously, almost going over a cliff.
I will never go. I will never go again.
Like, if I said, dude, we're going to do this in Kansas, all right? It is flat. There's no edges. Are you still just kind of like...
I don't know. And before I left, Miles was like, dude, that's dangerous. I was like, it'll be fine. He was right. And I'm with him. I don't really know if I would do it again.
Really? Even just like flat?
Well, it depends on where you go.
I mean, I flipped it one. And we're up in like Chelan.
Right.
And then we went up to like the top in the woods up there. So I flipped it once and it landed upside down on the edge, but it had bucked me off. So that already scared me. But also, when you're going up and down some of these hills, like you have to go fast.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to make it up it. So now we're kind of towards the end and there's a lookout point. I'm like, I'm just going to take it back to the place and drop the sled off. Well, I go about 10 feet and I go, screw it. I'll turn around and go look at that lookout. But I don't know that I can't make this turn.
Right.
So, I mean, right now I can feel in the back of my head. I remember the back of that sled sliding off. And for a chain, for this time, I remembered the guy said, gun it if you're in trouble. And it pulled me up out of it. But... I mean, if I had fallen off that one, I mean, you would have to wait till the snow all to melt and then find my body down there.
I was going
to
say,
and Mike's right. I was so shook when we got back to the cabin. Like, I was like, I got to relax. I'm going to smoke some weed. But my hands were shaking so bad, I had to ask one of my friends. I was like, this is going to sound terrible. Can you come out and light this bowl for me?
I was so shook and scared.
I mean, honestly, like, when that back end fell off, I was like,
this is it.
That's it. Right. Yep. There's that split second where, like, I'm going to die.
How big was that cliff?
I have no idea because it's covered in snow.
Right. Yeah, see, man, that's one of the things, like, when you talk about mountain climbing, right? And it's obviously it's going to be grueling. Yes, stuff is heavy. I get all that. The thing that freaks me out the most, my nightmare would be, you know, you're doing the snow crab, and it's just these snow-covered crevasses. And I know people
have done it. It sucks.
Right. To me, like, no way, man. And I know you got that stick you're jamming in there, but just the
it's an ice axe is maybe a foot and a half.
And so what, you just keep tapping it in front?
You just kind of poke down, but I mean, that's not a good idea. Think of it like, don't break the ice.
Right, I'm saying, why do you want people doing that, though?
In case it breaks through on the front. So then you can
say, what happens?
You back the hell up.
No, but I get that, but my thought, kind of like you're saying, don't break the ice. My feeling, look, I don't know, because I'm not a mountain climber, is like, you break the ice, but it's not like it just breaks where you broke it. Like, it keeps breaking, man.
You just pop. You disappear. You just pop down.
And I would also say on Rainier, when they say stay on the trails, they mean it. I did a day hike, and we decided to cross this snowfield. We had no idea how dumb that was, but it's only about a foot wide, and we're like heel to toe walking across it.
No way.
And we look down, and there's a school, and the guy's teaching them how to self-arrest.
Yes.
And he looks up at us and just like, what in the F are you two got to doing? And we're in shorts and tennis shoes.
Right.
Like, and he's like, well, keep going. And then one guy passed us and he was like, same thing. What the F are you two doing out here? We had no gear on.
Right.
Jesus.
I don't think that one wasn't as scary as I don't think we realized how close we were to dying.
If you don't realize how stupid you are, right, it's not as scary.
Was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-ROG.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys.
Hola.
Okay, so my story is I was 16 and a couple older boys, seniors, came to pick me up to go to a party. And we ended up maybe 10 minutes later, we got pulled over by 7 cop cars with guns pointed at us and put in handcuffs. I was put in the back of a cop car, but my friends didn't tell me anything that was going on. And then apparently they had pulled a gun on somebody before they came and got me. And I was kind of lucky that the police officer, she was the mother of a girl that I played basketball with. So she knew who I was. But then she called my mom.
But you don't know this has happened.
Right.
Like, as a parent, I'm like, okay, you're hanging out obviously with the wrong crowd.
But you don't know
that until you do now. So, you know.
Well, then, I mean, it gets worse because my mom had to come pick me up, but I had snuck out of the house.
Right. I was going to say, I bet you the key is
there's more.
She didn't know you were gone. Did you find out? Okay, when you find out that somebody in that group or the group itself pulled a gun out on someone, were you shocked? Right? There's certain people that'd be like, I can't believe that. And then there's other people I would think, I absolutely believe that.
Yes and no. I mean, they wouldn't tell me what was going on. They acted a little nervous, but I just didn't really think anything of it. I was just dumb and going to a party. But then when they started saying something about, like, not don't turn left here, and then all of a sudden, all these cop cars just surround us, and I was like, what did you do? They're like, just don't ask. You don't need to know. It's better that way. But one of them, I'm definitely not, I wasn't that surprised.
Okay, so with Facebook and everything else, where are they now? Do you know?
Yeah, actually, the one that pulled the gun out, he contacted me this last year. He's, like, scamming girls, basically, around the different states. Even he tried to come stay with me in San Diego, and I'm like,
Jesus,
hey, no,
gross.
No, no,
he's an idiot.
No,
it sounds like, in like no. 12, 15 years either.
Yeah,
he's still scamming people.
Yeah, it's stupid. But my mom, that was the worst part when my mom came to get me and drove me home.
And it's amazing, you know, how your kid logic works. Mm-hmm. Because in any situation like that, the worst part, doesn't matter what the cops said, doesn't matter what the cops did, it's all about the parents showed up.
Right.
Then as an adult, the worst part, strictly the arrest. Mm-hmm. I don't give a rat's ass what anyone thinks. It's like, I just got arrested, this sucks.
Yeah, if I'm in San Diego and I got buddy calls, like, I'm like, no, Ricker's on the couch, man. Nope. Couch is taken, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-ROCK.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Coming up at 4:30, we will be joined by Steve Mix, Taryn Daly from the Daily Mix Morning Show. We'll sit and spin today round two of the top rock bands for every letter of the alphabet.
Uh-huh.
Mike will give us a letter. We'll try to figure out the best band ever that the name started
represent,
with that,
yes, that letter.
That's coming up for you at 4:30. Right after emails and our question, was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Yeah, hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, Ted, that Bob Dylan show, that wind was crazy, man.
Oh, yeah. Were you out there, too?
Yeah. Wife and I were row 3 watching the grandstand swaying all over the place, man. It was nuts.
Yeah, Jesus. I will you see the equipment hanging up there? And they're like, you should get away from here. Even I was like, maybe we should move.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I kept looking up and told my wife, I was like, if I grab you and we're going to run.
Well, based on the color we had, it must be blown up there a ton.
I mean, look, the gorge is you know, like I tell, because people back east can't fathom. I go, it is the best place to see a concert.
Sure.
You're also in a river gorge. Weather's going to happen.
It is a wind tunnel, literally. But yeah, that was crazy. But anyway, the reason I called, man, last summer, saved a young man from drowning in Lake Perigen. So that was a close call for him. Kind of freaky moment for everybody else. But
what was the situation?
He's niece's boyfriend. So we knew him. You know, he came along. They were out there goofing around. Him and niece were goofing around, having fun, swimming around, all that kind of stuff. But I noticed he wasn't really a super strong swimmer. And then he started struggling, and then he started panicking, and then he went down. So I think I did the fastest 35-yard swim of my life.
Were you already in swim trunks, or did you have to strip down and, like, do the Hasselhoff run to the beach?
No Hasselhoff. I was standing, like, knee-deep in the water, already there, just watching. You know, I'm dad, so I'm in dad mode, watching the kids struggle, trying to pay attention. And
you said this kid, you said this dude was about 35 yards out?
Yeah, thereabouts, yeah.
If you're not a strong swimmer, don't go 35 yards out.
How old's a kid?
He's 18. He's 18 at the time. I think he's 19 now.
So he's a man. Like, he's a
legal
man. Yeah, you're going to save a dude.
He's a legal man, yeah.
So you said he started panicking. So when you get to him, does he keep panicking? Do you have to calm him down, or does he kind of relax and let you take over?
Oh, by the time I got to him, he was at the bottom of the lake, probably 15 feet down. So it was, I saw him go down, kind of marked it mentally, hauled out there and pulled him off the bottom.
Jesus. So you dove down, you grabbed his ass, and then you pushed off the bottom of the lake and got to the top with him.
Yep, here's the freaky part. He's a dark-skinned brother, right? And if not for his natural hair, I would not have found him because it was dark at the bottom and he was mixed in with all the vegetation. So,
oh, wow.
You know, natural fro, that's what I felt with my hand. I never saw him.
Why did we have to ask you so many questions to get to this part of the story? I'm picturing the guy treading water, not like brother sunk to the bottom or mixed in with the vegetation, but as a fro that I can spot.
And I couldn't even spot it. I felt it by hand. I mean, I followed some of his bubbles down, but it was my hand that hit his hair first.
Was it a friend of your kids?
Yeah, it was my niece's boyfriend at the time.
Okay, and so he was out. When you brought him to the surface, he was gone. He was out of it.
Oh, he was gone. No, he was straight up dead. He's in full arrest, everything, lungs full of water. Resuscitated him on the swim back to the beach and, you know, took care of him there. Something like he had called 911 in the meantime, and they showed up about 10 minutes later.
Did you used to be a lifeguard or something?
Well, here's the funny thing, Thrill. I took lifeguard class in 1982. Never worked as one.
1982.
Well, you missed the good part of being a lifeguard.
But, like, did the training kick in when you went down to get this kid?
Oh, brother, it was automatic, man. I didn't even think about nothing. It was just straight. I saw him struggling. He went down, you know, total panic. And, you know, I went out to where I saw him go down, followed the bubbles down. It was dark. Couldn't see him. Couldn't see anything else. Felt around for him, kind of like you're supposed to do. And sure enough, found him only because of his hair.
Wow.
Damn.
That's crazy.
That is terrifying.
I mean, like, kids, but like at 18, like, I'd be like, I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
Man.
That's what everybody thought.
No. I'm so glad my wife doesn't listen to this show, because she wouldn't say, like, you could have gotten my phone.
Oh, right. I just get it again.
It's like 10 feet of water.
You can see it.
You could have got my phone. You can see the light on it.
God, Jesus. That is terrifying,
That
man.
Is crazy.
Okay.
But the way you told the story, you know, initially it just sounded like a kid struggling in the water. I swam out. I grabbed him. I pulled him back. He sunk to the bottom 15 feet deep in vegetation and I couldn't see him.
I resuscitated
him on the swim back to the beach. Like, brother, you were underselling yourself.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot to that story, but he's just like, just pulled him
out
of the
water. You owe me a steak.
Yeah.
Was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-RON.
That's got to be a horrible feeling, too. I mean, like,
someone else's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, what you mean. Nobody wants to lose
their own kid, but I'm just like, I can't imagine being in charge of somebody else's kid and they're drowning. No. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, that is. And the thing is, even though he saved the kid and all that, it's still a horrible conversation to have with someone.
Well, I told you, Bernie, his youngest, you know, same thing. Look, him and his brother had a pool. They're all inside. The kid goes out, somehow unlocks the fence. They don't know it. They go out there. He's at the bottom of the pool.
Oh.
Now, obviously, thankfully, they dive in, they resuscitate him and stuff. But the kid didn't really remember. But when he was like 5 or 6, he would just look at you and be like, Mr. Steve, I almost died.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Right?
You're how you like, doing, kid?
Hey, buddy, like, will you stop saying
happy fifth
that?
Birthday. Cool. Jeez,
right?
Damn, buddy.
I know, but I love swimming. I love being in open water and stuff. But, like, if you're not a strong swimmer, you got to be careful.
And don't do it.
He can never break up with that niece.
I think he already did.
Yeah, he said, he indicated they're no longer together.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me.
Well, she dumped him because he couldn't swim.
Jesus.
Yeah. Can't be with you.
Was it?
You can't swim.
You're not allowed at the family lake, bro.
The hell out of here.
Was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-ROCK.
We all have a mutual friend. It's a good friend of mine.
You're banned from the cabin.
He cannot swim.
Right.
So years ago, during the pandemics, he can't do a lot of stuff. And my buddy, his father, has a very nice home over on Lake Sammamish. So I said, we're going. And then I said, put on this life jacket. Like, you're going to learn to at least get in the water. A, I forgot to tell him, like, he comes up, sounds like he's dying. You're going to tell me to hold my breath.
Jesus, like, Jesus, God.
What? Come on, man.
What?
What?
Dude.
Well, what's better is, because we had him in a PFD, we had it all tightened up.
Oh, my God. Look.
So then later in the night.
You didn't tell me.
Yeah, we're hanging out by the dock, right? Now, he's in a he's in a personal flotation device.
Yeah.
He is loving life now. We're drunk. He's like, But I've been sitting next to him treading water for like half an hour. Like, all right, we're going in.
Right.
He's like, why? I'm like, because I'm going to drown now.
Right.
Like, I'm getting tired.
Jesus. He actually said, you didn't tell me to hold my breath.
Correct.
Why did he put his hand under the water and not hold his breath?
I mean, look, there's a lot.
Does he think he's Aquaman?
Honestly, if you've never been taught swimming, I guess he just didn't think about it. So we were on a boat and we were like, right, like, I'm in the water. My buddy Matt's in the water. His girlfriend's in the water. His dad's on the boat. So we're like, you're in a PFD.
Right.
Jump in. You'll come back up. You know, we got rescue swimmers. Like, this is fine. And he comes up. And we're like, what's wrong? And he's like, nobody told me to hold my breath.
Oh, my God.
Dude. And I know who you're talking. So I'm refraining from saying his name. If you were listening, man, look, there's a lot of things
that
I do not know how to do.
Oh, it's not him.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's the other one. Right.
Jesus, how many people don't know how to swim around here?
It's the other one.
It's the other one.
Yeah. Because my wife even offered to give him swimming lessons.
What?
My wife said, hey, man.
Jesus
Christ. I'll give you swimming. Because she was teaching swimming at the time. And he turned it down because he's just uncomfortable. He's like, I'm a grown-ass man. I should not take swimming lessons. But the flip side is, but you're a grown-ass man that can't swim. I don't hold that against you.
No.
What I hold against you is not knowing to hold your breath underwater.
So what's
he's going to drown in his own shower.
Time out. So you said the learning curve on snowboarding 2 or 3 times, and you're pretty confident.
You go two.
Right?
The first day sucks. Second day you get better. Third day you know how to snowboard.
Now, as an adult, I do not remember. I kind of remember learning how to swim. I remember having swimmies on my arms, 4 or 5 years old. From that point, once I got it, it's like a bike, right?
Sure.
As an adult, you don't know how to swim. How many times do you need to go to the pool and take lessons before you start getting it? You know what I'm saying? Like, as an adult.
It'd be a few, because you got to do, like, what do they call them? The pedal boards or whatever?
Oh, the paddle boards. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's how I learned.
What's the learning curve?
I don't know.
I mean, I was a kid, but I feel like it took me a couple weeks to really get it down.
We take this guy with your wife to a pool 3 times.
She's a teacher. She can teach.
Does he get this? You know what I mean?
If he listens to her, yes. She's very good at it. But again,
can he do it?
I think he could.
I know what you're supposed to do to ski, but right. I can't necessarily do it.
But you can do it.
Well, she could teach him as well. Because originally I said, I'll just teach you. Then I said, no, I'll get too frustrated with you because you're another adult.
Right. Well, she can do it.
Right. I only get frustrated with children.
No. Hold your breath.
I'm just saying, when you coach kids, you allow something. But, like, it's so hard for me at 44 to fathom that people can't swim that I would just be like, what are you doing?
Right. No.
But, Miles, to your point, Miles.
I'm just wondering, like, as an adult, it's different.
But you said, like, so I can't ski really well. But if you slammed into a tree.
It would hurt.
No.
I might die.
And then you told us, well, you didn't tell me not to ski into trees.
No, I understand
that. To me, that's the equivalent of you didn't tell me to hold my breath. Like, some things you just think are obvious, right? So even when you say teach an adult to swim, for me personally, I would think that the last thing that I need to tell them is, oh, hey, when you're underwater,
hold your breath.
Jesus,
what if he slipped through?
We tightened it up good.
Okay.
After that, I would have...
What was a full vest?
It was a good vest. Okay, I mean, all right. And then when I took him to Montana because we were staying on a lake, that's why we stopped in Idaho. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "We're buying PFDs for you."
Oh,
said, "I ain't spending a week."
So he got his own.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Somebody here says, "I taught swimming for 15 years. Hardest part about teaching adults is getting them to relax. When they're tight, they sink." Right. Kids, correct. They follow a lot quicker with that.
Sort of. Okay.
That's how a lot of people drown, too, and rips. Like, you just panic.
Of course.
Right? Because I think...
The one thing they tell you not to do is the thing that you do naturally, which is, hey, don't do that thing that every urge in you is here to do, which is panic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, correct. No one panics on purpose, right? It is a response to a situation that you can't wrap your head around, right?
But right.
But don't do that.
Yeah. The thing is, too, even if you can swim, in an emergency situation...
Don't panic.
It's the fact that, look, we can all run, but if we just took off for an emergency situation in a full sprint...
You run faster.
There's a good chance I'm pulling a hammy.
No, oh, guaranteed.
I'm just saying, like, something... like with swimming, it just tires your ass out. So you've got to think more of a marathon here than a sprint. Because,
sure.
I mean, that's the thing about swimming. If you do not do it on a regular basis, then you are not in shape to do it. So you might be able to do it, but how long can you do it and how far can you do it? That's the key. It's like running or anything else.
Well, I was watching one of those shows, one of those Maybe We Should Be Dead shows, all right? Or I Can't Believe We Survived. And it's a dude.
Oh.
He's there with his daughter and daughter's friend. Both of them are on the high school swimming team, all right? And I don't remember what island they were on, but they're going to swim from the mainland to this island that's maybe a half mile out, something like that. They are strong swimmers, okay? So they're swimming out there, and a couple of dolphins start trailing with them, okay? And then, as the story goes, keep in mind, they're very strong swimmers. An S-ton of dolphins, I don't remember the number, it's an estimate, right? But something like 60 of them or whatever, are doing this massive circle around them. And they can't figure it out at first. And then they realize the dolphins are doing this. And right, they're kind of freaking out because he's like, look, dolphins don't traditionally attack people, but we don't know what they're doing. There's a bunch, and they're keeping their distance. They're maybe 25 to 30 feet away, but they're just committed to making this big whirlpool thing, right? They don't understand why. So he goes, now we're treading water for about 10 minutes at this point because you're not going to break through the line. We don't know what's going on. And the worst part was the island they're trying to swim to was maybe 200 yards away at this point. You know, they'd almost maybe covered the distance, but now these dolphins are doing a thing. Turns out the dolphins are running interference for them because there's a shark in the area. And he doesn't know that at first. He's like, then I piece it together because he goes down in the water kind of intentionally to see, like, how far down are these dolphins? And he sees the shark is trying to figure a way in, specifically to get his daughter, and his daughter's friend.
Jesus.
So he pops out. The dolphins are still doing their thing. So he's like, all right. So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, the dolphins are trying to do us a solid, right? Either to protect us or because I hate sharks. Doesn't matter. He's like, but I can't tell my daughter and her friend, like, hey, the reason this is going on is because there's a freaking shark down there.
Also, you got to swim back.
And really trying to figure out how to get to us, all right? So he's like, I can't tell them. So now they're freaking out about the dolphins, but I'm trying to get them to calm down about the dolphins, but I can't let them know that I know what's up. So he's like, oh, you know, he's like, I'm just making a BS. It's like, well, this is what dolphins do when they're excited for blah, blah, blah. They kind of believe them. Now, the problem is they're running out of gas, man, right? Because
they're getting tired.
And again, super strong. So to your point, like, your buddy we were just talking about, he's dead at this point. Floaty or not, I feel like he's gone, the shark's fed. Eventually, the dolphins chase the shark off. Shark just gives up. But I think he said like 30, 45 minutes in the water. They barely make it to that little island they were trying to get to and eventually get rescued. Because they were like, so he said when we got to land, then he told his daughter and daughter's friend, like, hey, I don't want to say anything in the water, but, like, dude, there was a shark trying to eat us and these dolphins trying to interfere.
Was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-ROD.
Nope. And, of course, somebody had the text line. Dolphins do frequently rape people, though. Yes, I know. I was leaving that part out.
All right, we got another one on X here. Gibby says, I taught adult swimming lessons in Maryland for moving to Seattle. Typically took 3 weeks at three times a week to get them swimming. Adults started with the kickboard and mechanics. The biggest challenge was getting their face in the water and staying calm.
Okay.
All right.
So it's not three times. It's about nine. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. That's all I was asking.
So now we know about nine times, and you're good to go.
I've had probably 5-6 ski lessons. I still suck, so I know that's why I was. How long is this learning curve?
Sure, but you could still ski. The difference is you could still ski and avoid a tree. Where I feel like if you can kind of swim, you're going to die.
Right. I could swim in a flat pool in this instance. I could not swim in a wave pool. That's right. My skiing analogy.
And that's fair.
So that's fair.
Hello, Shay. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up? Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you, man.
Yeah, shout-out to my buddy, Big Steve. He ran into a thrill at the Pinehurst Pub a month or two ago. Said you were super nice.
Well, he must have been confused with someone else.
Must off night.
Off night. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. All right. So my near-death experience took place in Idaho somewhere. I was like 9. We were visiting my mom's high school friend. She has a ranch out there, and we were going to go ride horses. And I was kind of apprehensive about it. So, I'm the last one to get a horse. And by that time, they're like, so we got this guy. He's okay. And it was a huge horse. It was way bigger than all the other ones. I was like, are you sure? I'm a little kid and said, yeah, you'll be fine. Anyways, we're trotting through the desert, basically, out there, Idaho. And this horse, I don't know what happened. I don't think it got spooked. I think it just was not that tame. But this thing took off. And I was hanging on for dear life. It got maybe like a quarter mile away from my family and the other guys. And it jumped over this huge creek.
And you're on it.
You're just clinging.
You're on the back of this thing.
Yeah, on this little
thing. You're flying through the air, hanging onto a horse as it jumps over a creek. Is this correct?
Yeah. I mean, at the time, it's like it was a river to me,
Right, sure, right, right.
Sure. This is awesome.
So the horse lands on the other side on its front feet and butts me off. And I flip off of it and land on my back facing up on the ground. I get the wind knocked out of me and I open my eyes and this horse has reared up on its back legs and its two front hooves come down right next to my head.
Jesus!
Oh, what is up with this horse,
man? He's trying to kill you now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he is.
He hated me.
The crazy part is my parents made me get back on it.
What?
Take a picture.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Little fridge magnet of me with my hat pulled over my eyes. I was crying. But that thing, that I don't think I'll ride horses again.
Yeah.
That's fair, brother.
It really is, man.
God. It's bad enough to get bucked off after the thing's gone crazy, but you're telling me that it's going to come down and try to stomp on your head.
Yeah. Finish him.
Was it you or someone else who had the close call? 206-803-ROD.
Jesus.
Vicious horse.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the men's room.
Mark, are you there?
Yep. Hello.
Hola. So how'd you almost die?
So this would have been, say, the mid-90s. I was in San Diego. So here's the situation. Rush hour traffic in San Diego, and I'm on the 405, which is the east-west freeway, trying to merge onto the I-5, the north-south.
North-south one, yeah.
Yeah. So
rush hour traffic there is just as busy as, say, the 5, 4 or 5 would be here.
Sure.
Just tons of cars. So we're all going full speed, 65 miles an hour. And I get into my eyes as the sun is setting. It's in my eyes, and I'm merging full speed to go to the north. And when the sun leaves my eyes, the traffic, the merge lane to go north is at an absolute dead stop, and I'm like just, say, 20 or 30 feet or something like that from that. I slam on my brakes, and I had an old truck, so it didn't have anti-lock brakes. A spin. And so I go from the far right-hand merge lane, and so now my truck is crossing at a perpendicular angle to traffic, 5 lanes of traffic. I didn't get hit by a single car. I spin all the way around 180 degrees and come to a rest, an easy rest on the, the concrete divider there. I didn't get hit by a single car. I thought as soon as I slammed on the brakes and, immediately lost control of the car, that I thought I was dead. As soon as I go across those 5 lanes of traffic, how I didn't get T-boned by multiple cars, I will never know. But suddenly, we're all going full speed, and then nothing. No Damn. Traffic at all.
That is a terrifying feeling, mm-hmm. man. Jesus. By the way, I'm just going to point out, a texter texted in yesterday about a different caller. But it turns out that texter might be onto something, because they said, you can tell this guy is from California. It's about a caller yesterday. Except because he calls I-5 the I-5.
Correct.
And I never gave it much thought. But then this guy's talking about San Diego, and he talks about the I-5, and I'm like, God, that is weird.
I'm just thinking about the Californians.
Yeah, I know.
All the different streets.
I don't want to be this guy, but I will. It's a skit. It's funny, right? The Californians.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Turns out California was ahead of the national road systems. So it was the Santa Ana Freeway.
Okay, the blah, I-5. Blah, blah. Okay.
So those people kept calling it the 5, the 101, and it just stuck with all the Californians.
Fun, Ted. Suck the fun out.
Yeah, really.
Now I can't even make fun of the guy.
More TV shows.
I just wanted to make fun of him.
Yes,
oh, Jesus. How we built America.
The history of roads. Coming up with TV time with Ted.
Johnny Boulevard.
It's on the way at 5:30. Hang on for that.
Get your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.